interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian monkeypox modernization sustainable cricketism. They're really piling on, aren't they? To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 477. They really are piling it up, aren't they? Just as I said they would, to overwhelm us. And I still believe there's enough of us, even us, the slimy 10%, the cancel culture, we'll be able to stand up and be enough. There's going to be numbers enough if we just would. But we have to be more intelligent on how we're going to do that, because we're up against some psychological dynamics that are probably never ever seen. I don't think man has ever seen it, at least in this epoch. Last week, I titled the broadcast, again, I don't come up with this until after the broadcast. I don't even know what I'm doing when I get here, except I have a bunch of stream of ideas and consciousness and things that seem to tie together in way, hopefully unique ways to show you how to look at things in the way you analyze stuff. You don't get lost in a lot of the noise. In fact, you can use a lot of that noise to show you a direction as well. But I entitled the last week's broadcast, Stop Their Trust. And the word trust is there, and the word trust has a lot of meanings. In this case, last week, it was the trust that they want you to gain in these people, these people that are somehow got the tiller of the ship of every state of the nation of the world, nations of the world, and are running this thing aground into transforming it, essentially, into the future we want, which is not us, it's them, their future. And as they told us, they have insinuated their global leaders everywhere. And I told you that we sued that. We identified that with the help of my colleagues in 2013 and sued it. Right? So it's not obvious. I guess the point is it's obvious to find once we know, but they got us to where we don't understand what's going on. So last week, I was touching trust. This week, a gentleman, an author named Jeffrey Tucker, he has a title on a article he writes this week, said The Mass Betrayal of Trust. And I read that title and I said, I can only hope. I can only hope that people are aware enough to actually understand it. It's not the trust I was talking about they want to impose upon you for your benefit from last week. It's the one you were supposed to have and maintain a control and check and really move against when you saw the breach of the trust to you. And I don't mean that the government is speaking to you, but those of us that believe we were brought up into a country that allowed us to be free to an extent, and again, the extent is understood, and I shouldn't have to discuss all this, where we don't have right to go after other people, attack them, or infringe upon their property, or unreasonably so, and that reason is really an objective basis, not based on cancel culture, or to make that up, the commons nonsense. The commons is really just, I don't even know how that even got a foothold. Well, I do know how. We sued it in 2013, but notwithstanding all that, it's in the judiciary. It allows it. It promotes it. And then we say our government failed. Well, part of our government failed, and that was us. That was the people who were making the constitutions for that better world a long time ago to try and stop the tyranny that was seen in lots of different types of regimes, I guess we can call it now, governments. But the mass betrayal of trust Jeffrey Tucker writes about. He references it to a genre in a film called film noir. It's a dark, he'll explain it here. He can go through better than I will, and I have the time to. He has the time to. It's a dark criminal drama nature film style. Well, his view is it equates, we look at America and what's going on. With the title on The Mass Betrayal of Trust, which I'm saying I hope and only hope. I'm hoping that the mass betrayal of trust is felt so deeply that it causes people to respond however they can and will. And I've been here behind the woodshed attempting to show you how to better do that once you finally decide how and where you're going to do that. When's enough enough? And I don't know how much more it takes. I can see it's going to take more, and I can see that they're pushing all the buttons and people still don't respond. So I've kind of backed off and said when that can happen. It's like I've also backed off a long time ago in judging people that don't respond. Everyone has their story. But at some point, that can't be used anymore as an excuse. At some point, enough is enough. And I guess that comes down to what value buys you off from being responsible to yourself. And then by yourself, to yourself, it becomes and manifolds out to everyone else. It's the mutual response. But Jeffrey Tucker brings a comment here after I was looking at responding to the title member. I got to stop their trust. Stop these oppressors, trusting these oppressors and the trust they want to put in you. When they say want to work for your benefit, that's establishing a trust. You just know them when you hear them. You know them when you see them. It's Lieber code. It's the military, what the military does, an occupying force does. Whether you recognize that they are that or not, whatever costume you've prejudiced yourself into waiting to see. I've been attempting to tell you and show you how it doesn't matter what their costume is. If they're coming against you in the wrong way, you really have to step up and call it out, because it's just another type of crime against you, another treason against you and others around you. And then certainly you're going to be your family, your culture. How many cultures are really destroyed in the melting pot of America has been amazing to me. I didn't know that when I was young. I found out how that was destroyed, and there is a power behind certain culture. You know, none of these organic cultures were actually long-term things that protected people, protected society. The melting pot may not have been a good idea. It was actually a plan to subvert all that protection of many peoples and then bring them into a servitude. And you get to see that in a number of ways, depending on your research. Not reading the history you're told, but the history that is. And that's going to be another theme here, I guess, the history here. And it comes up in an interesting article. These things, people, it's coming from people. But Jeff, we'll move into this back here. The genre, as he writes, Jeffrey Tucker writes, very different from Americana of popular culture before and after, reveals the economic depression, this film noir genre, reveals the economic depression, the war, can do to people. They not only shatter innocence, they elevate the loss of trust as a cultural habit. Corruption is normalized and institutionalized. It pervades everything and everyone, and therefore affects everything that people think and do. I just can't tell you enough how much that strikes me to be what I've been hoping to protect people against by letting them know this is what it's up. Why we're, no matter how you look at this, it's a war against people. What war can do to you, speaking right through here. The film noir is fitting. It's dark. The darkness comes from a mass loss of trust in everything and everyone. No one but criminal elements thrive in such a world. Decent people survive as they are able. And they only do so by recognizing the reality around them, namely that everything and everyone is compromised by the times. So it has been back then, at least in major parts, the urban landscape of those hard times. What distinguishes our times is something very similar, corruption and lies. They surround us everywhere. It's shocking to think how naive we have been. Consider all the things that were generally believed to turn out not to be true. Consider all the things that we generally believe that turn out not to be true. What I have phrased is what you know that isn't so. And then Jeffrey writes a litany here, a long list of what we believed. And of various, and in generality, I would have to say, I'm not going to put any specifics on this. Generally, I could go through the list. I'm going to read a few, but it's quite a list. And I think it's important to revisit this list. There's more. I mean, he's making an article, so he's proving, he's setting a point. He's setting up a position. And there are tons of things we believe that what we thought we knew that just isn't so. When he talks about the corruption, I told you that was, to me, the financial, because we're going to an economic control structure. The fraud of 2008 was the turning of the point of bringing fraud normal. It's way beyond just a deception of lies, bringing fraud normal to a world, global peoples. But he lists here, like, we had believing that we have in America, we had Bill of Rights that protected our freedom of action, of speech, religion, and movement until it was all taken away. We had the courts that checked, we believed we had churches that checked overweening powers of government at all levels. I like that. If I've read overweening, I think that needs to be put into a document. Judicial overweening, the powers of government, the failure to do that. We thought we had a judiciary that would do that. Well, again, I don't know that anybody else does, but I know. Default judgment from the people who are the part of the bar, the members of the bar association, are your judicial branches now. A private-public partnership. Put into your laws, across the United States and the world, wherever rule of law and democracy brand of the color of authority exists. But we thought we had these courts. In 2013, I was able to show myself, at least, by their default, to answer to the destruction of the Republican form of government by promoting and allowing sustainable things, green religion things, sustainable development, just generally in a term. This was not a question anymore since 2013 for me. It is what we've been suffering since and moving on. It's been promoted by them. Why we don't have what we thought we had as rights. But we believe that we had courts. We believe we would never have schools shut by arbitrary edict for a virus. We knew that we sure posed little or no risk to kids. We believe that we had legislatures that would be responsive to the people and not lock their own voters in homes, but less allow half the population to be demonized as disease spreaders. We believed we had drug regulators that would thoroughly vet any medication that would be marketed to us by top public health officials. We believed we would never be required to take a medicine we did not want to need on the condition of keeping our jobs. We believe that the main drivers of the scientific process is evidence and integrity, and that this is due to respected editors and guardians of the truth. I'm on and on. Jeffrey goes on and on. There's more and more and more. The point is we had these beliefs. I said before, it was my hope that this betrayal of trust would be so great that the American people would finally see it. And I've been sorely disappointed in all that. Till today, folks, even after talking all this time, explaining how it was going to come on to us, that it was coming on, and then what to do when it before it was to come on. Jeffrey goes on to write, we could expand this list without limit. The point is clear. We've been betrayed in ways that we've never thought possible. We didn't even know that the extent to which we once trusted. Trust, in some measure, has long been baked into the experience of American life. Americans generally see themselves as earnest and sincere members of the glorious commercial republic who, despite failings here and there, inhabit a society that is always striving for good. And yet, we now look at our institutions and we are aghast to find something very different has grown up among us and in short order. And so it's not just that innocence is gone, it's that trust has evaporated too. How often now do we respond to the latest news or the latest speech or the latest pronouncement from a once trusted big shot with well-earned and cynical dismissal? This seems to be the way it goes today in most aspects of life. And I'll let you read the rest. That fairly well covers, in a summary, what I've been suggesting and hoping people would recognize and see and watch as they turn themselves into the people that didn't trust, that I would anticipate this and I would offer what you do when you finally come to the point when you say, enough is enough. We are a people better than having to watch this happen to us or have happened to us. Appreciate Jeffrey Tucker's being able to write this. The core of this sits, the core of what he's saying sits in what I've been pointing out and saying. The betrayal of trust, though, requires, and it's almost a sick joke, as if it was given license. It's a license for the oppressors, I don't even know what else to call it. They're just oppressors, however they come, whatever costume, to be able to do so until the public, the people, for which the constitutions were to set up and for which were the institutions of which were infiltrated, that the people had the right to alter and abolish the maladministration of the government they established, in quotes, they, it wasn't us, it was our predecessors, that we were given that license to do so, knowing that there's never been a people in the world, except by riot, if you will, by finally just complete devastating, even civil war wasn't enough if you notice the American part, but where people finally step up together and people have to die in order to fix it. And that doesn't settle it. It takes time to even settle out while the infiltrators come back in. And maybe for a short time, the people will step up to alter or abolish the oppressor that was causing them their harm. We're moving into another one of those times, or not. And this is where I really am concerned. The betrayal of trust I thought COVID would be, the exposure, the quick ability to prove it, and no one responding. I just wonder whether or not we've succumbed even to the betrayal, the trust in us ourselves. Are we going to respond to this betrayal of trust? Are we just going to continue to complain about it? And we can't just think, oh, because we have an idea to alter and abolish, that these people exploited, and they get to exploit until we shut them out and shut them down. We're going to live this way. And we're seeing foreigners, groups of people having conventions, totally hypocritic in the positions they have, totally have no support or foundation within their own rationale. Doing this to the world is really astonishing on the one hand, and just talk about being aghast. I'm aghast at how we're not responding as people. It's not that some people aren't responding. It's that we're not responding effectively and functionally in the license that was given to the other side where we didn't alter or abolish immediately the maladministration of what goes on around us under color of authority. Remember, under color is a fraud on its own. Under color of authority is the fraud on its own. And I'm really just aghast of the word aghast. Aghast how the system, the people that are taking oaths and to undertake for you to protect and secure to you these things that we thought were freedoms and rights and properties, totally disregard all that. And again, it's not a surprise when I said I could predict, I'm going to go ahead and take claim to that, predict that because the fraud in economics and financial and monetary policy became the rule, that it would be pervasive into the future to destroy the rest, is what we're talking about here relative to frauds that are going on. When is the mass betrayal of trust going to turn into a functional arm? I would prefer that it, and there's lots of people I admire and I might listen to more if I didn't have other things that I need to be doing or talk with, that would advocate a more physical response, a more violent response. And I understand that, and I partially would agree with it. I guess my preference would be that we rise above even that base capacity. Then we learn how to move the grifters out, the oppressors out without the violence. Leave our posterity something to watch, to understand, to do before they suffer even as much as we are even beginning. I think it's going to get a lot worse. But trust is a big deal. The mass betrayal should have had a mass response. The exploiters and the oppressors accept that when you didn't, it gave them the license to continue. You agree. That's your consent. That's why the silence is such a big deal. The crickets have become the most, in my mind, the best symbol of that request, that consent to be oppressed. It plays on the world stage, and it becomes a concern, at least if I read this next article, that even the United States could suffer the consequences here, as we use that word in the title. Relative to what it's doing around the world, So there's a cause and effect, and there's a real cause and effect, and people will respond to a betrayal. When we read this story, from the New York Times, reported from a Serbian website, which I find interesting to go to. I've referred to it plenty of times here in the last broadcast. The United States is afraid of the consequences of the confiscation of Russian property. Official Washington fears that the possible confiscation of the frozen funds of the Central Bank of Russia will undermine the status of the United States as a reliable investment partner in the eyes of other countries. I'm not going to read the story more. The word reliable, trust. Where other nations are looking at what the United States does under the color of having some sort of power, the color, the fraud of having a power over others. Where the countries are looking with an eye to say, wait, this is a commercial nation and they are not worthy of us investing in them, and our products, our investments, our assets there are not protected by the rule of law there. In fact, they're exploited. We cannot trust them enough to even do business. And I'm talking relative here, how the world economic situation is shifting or planned and allowed to be shifting. The United States is able to suffer for its unreliability. How other nations can do this. And I said, look at the other sovereign nations. If you believe you're a sovereign people in the United States, look at what other sovereign nations do in protection of themselves and take that as a guide as to what you need to consider doing where you are, where you live. If it's not, the United States government's not reliable, if the state government's not reliable, how much longer, that betrayal of trust, the unreliability, how much longer are we going to sit around and not respond to it? It's not a question to be answered. It'll happen when it happens. It's not. We're not going to answer that question until it's answered, until it's done. But this unreliability that the United States is now proposing into the world, promoting into the world, is now having a ramification. The betrayal of trust is done by what? The deeds of the United States. In stealing, plundering the assets of another country. That international provisions of decency say, don't do that. You just don't do that. You may have problems, but you don't resolve them that way. So before even the people of the United States who have been given the right to alter or abolish immediately the maladministration, which I told you was foretold to us, the failure in the Virginia Second Amendment, so-called Second Amendment condition. I told you, I highlighted that, I could see that. I was really hoping for the best on that, and then it all evaporated. And I told you then, you go back to the broadcast, I told you this was going to be the model of our a prediction of our failure. Not that we can't fix it, but that it's going to portend poorly upon us. Am I really so hard on Virginia? No, I knew the miners themselves told me before all that, that the microcosm of the miner and the through the Jefferson Mining District and its, I don't even know what you call it, what happened, the people who tried to take it down, what happened in the microcosm of the miner to not support themselves and instead be divisive amongst themselves and try to destroy the function of the organization was indicative of the macrocosm we call America. This thing that Jeffrey Tucker is speaking to. We were sit into a psyop of trust that we were somehow believing this was functioning, and all the time it wasn't. And then at warp speed, within 10, 12, well, within, what was it, 9/11, we watched the exploitation of a condition in many areas, not just 9/11, in all kinds of areas. Again, I didn't write a paper to sue the Bar Association until 2013. It actually took long enough to pull all that together. And we only sued that part, not the military. We characterized the attack as a military attack, but no, it doesn't come across that way to most people. The trust has been gone, and the people remain silent, is the license for these people to do things. The ramification, the consequences of such unreliability is now being seen in the world and may be the catalyst, may help catalyze nations to come together to just do an alternative. What I've also been offering you to do, develop the alternatives. But in our case, in the United States, we can go back to the organic alternatives are sufficient enough for us to guide ourselves. Because I don't know that we really have, well, given the mass betrayal and the lack of action, I don't think we have in us the type of capacity we need to understand. We at least need to step back to the black and white that preceded us and start from that and re-engage that. So we have a basis to work from. It is the only reason why I suggest some of these things more than just going ahead and, you know, it's nice to think that there's tall oaks and short ropes, but the actuality of all that happening, or to resort to the Second Amendment, is so seemingly far away in my mind, except as another gamble that we lost once already in the Civil War of the United States. That it's, I don't think that my perception doesn't want to try that again. That we do have other knowledge and measures at our hands that we just need to exercise, and we can learn not to go to that. And then they also learn in the future they don't have to expect the Second Amendment. In other words, we're going to take away their threat that they can harm us in the Second Amendment. But it's always there. So trust has been ongoing here, destruction the whole entire time. The betrayal now is real for Jeffrey Tucker. He's finally come to the realizations. We've been told all these things, and they were never to be trusted anyway. And that's, for a lot of my listeners, I would suppose, and I've heard, that just gives us that we just shrug our shoulders and throw our hands up. But that doesn't end it. And that's the other problem. This is really the sticky wicket, I guess I can say. I should say. That the trust, the examples of the distrust, the betrayal is everywhere. And I just, that part of the things I do here is just show us all how, where they are. And then does that subject matter interest you to be where you would jump in is really all I can say. And then I offer what I can in how you might approach the problem to make your best effort in our ignorance of it all. And again, a betrayal of trust means that we weren't looking. We had our eyes closed, essentially. We were in slumber. We were hypnotized. And you're not going to come out of that state and necessarily. I guess there's champions that come out there. You know, there are sometimes people that can come out of a sleeping state and come right to action. But it's going to take, normally it takes some time to come out of your slumber into something that you have to respond to. And in the first few moments, you're just stumbling in a direction you think you're making based on something that came to your mind as you were waking from your slumber. And so there's this going to be this natural hesitation and misstep and or misdirection or slowness to come to the point that some of us kind of got woken up, shook awake a lot earlier, not woken and not awake either, as is promoted. You just have a knowledge, and then you see the experience of it, and then you respond through that, and then you find out the wisdom from it all. And partly what comes to my mind behind the woodshed isn't you going behind the woodshed and taking your lumps, your lickings there. It's that you become the responsible, if you will, adult, to bring the little miscreant behind and bring him to tow in the more formal societal sense relative to the organization and establishment. Trust is why you make oaths. You trust in that. Those are supposed to do something. Those are supposed to have remedy. We're finding none of it. See, fraud rules. And fraud is what you've been watching. Fraud rules, and there's nothing but a aiding and abetting, a controlling, a protection of that, a promotion of it and a protection of it. And yet we see that none of these organizations can be trusted. Like Jeffrey Tucker was mentioning, he mentioned specifically this thing with COVID, these jabs, these medications. We now find that we can't trust them if we could before. And I have to say before, years and decades ago, I really didn't have a thought. Sure, I trusted them. You know, I brought up as a wanting to be a scientist in chemistry. I was really, really proficient in chemistry. I knew like more and beyond what you could be taught before I even got there somehow. I was into that, but we were going to have better living through chemistry, remember? So we all got brought up that there was this thing that was coming. No one talked about the consequences of that. And that's our short-sightedness as people as well, which is another danger, why I don't want to have people move too quickly before they've started to come back to an awareness from their slumber, that we move on to this continued agencies that were supposed to be here to protect us. As some of us study, we realize, as I told you, the WHO is brokers of harma in the world. I've told you that years and years ago. I think the people are starting to actually mention that. The FDA becomes a surrogate for that, as you watch the WHO, not the rock group or not the owl, not even the little people in Whoville, but the World Health Organization being the broker and utilizing FDA, CDC type of integration to show you the United States is globally unreliable, globally shouldn't be trusted. And I don't know if that's not part by plan to bring on the agenda, or if we have just, well, the caucusocracy won at this point. It's winning. It's going to win. And we've been sliding into the stinking abyss as I've identified it. And there's no one around to stop it or to figure out how to disconnect from it, let it slip in, and then we just don't have to go in with it. But this trust moves on to the organizations of the government that we thought were to be protective of the people. But when you put it in the context that they're actually promoting commerce, then it's all of a sudden that this stuff starts to show why they overlook a lot of things. And how if we continue to go down and allow them to be who they are, they will do nothing but continue to do harm until the studies come in to show that they were wrong. Where we have this report here, the FDA flags heart inflammation risks over Novavax COVID-19 vaccine. Again, there is no vaccines for COVID disease. You'd find that's a lie, but as far as being a vaccine, but we do see now they're flagging heart inflammation risks. The FDA staff on Friday flagged the risk of heart inflammation following the administration of a Novavax COVID vaccine. And it goes through the study on how it's explained that that was found. And the point is that's highly consistent, isn't it, with what happens with these mRNAs. I don't even need to discuss it anymore. I told you behind the woodshed, based on the initial studies, if there wasn't anybody else, and I know there were other people, that were saying that the studies were already coming out to tell us these were harmful. There has been no change in what I've been saying behind which yet relative to any of what's going on. All of this promoted by CDC and the FDA. Now we come out, and I guess they have to now admit and move a little quicker that heart inflammation risks on this so-called vaccine, this jab. Well, what about the rest? See, they are overlooking the rest. So there's no trust again. We can't even trust, even if they were doing some kind of function, you can't trust they're responding timely, where they may find out heart inflammation risks in this product and not the others, when the results have been identical, essentially predictable, shamefully predictable. That, again, trust, as we see in doctors, some doctors have stepped up. I've been critical of how they've been stepping up. They haven't been challenging. They all agree the disease is an infectious agent, that the infectious agent is is organic. It's all a fraud. They bought into that themselves. So these experts are a little bit shy of being reliable. Again, no trust. That we look, there are doctors that are noticing things, and I will take probably their word a lot faster. I was sent an email that had a link to a video entitled "Australia Gives the Real Account on the mRNA Jab and Its Devastating Results." And then, based on just reading that, my mind kind of triggered real quick. Didn't even see the video, but I was just wondering as my mind starts to wander and wonder and takes a gander. To ponder, right, Vince? That if the United States, if only 10%, as I said before, the 10% started getting active and be responsible to stop this, wherever the subject matter area is in first view, because you have to have that to work through this, and the dismissals that you'll reach and the denials of officials. But so you have to have really strong need to continue. But if only 10% didn't take the jab, that's what, like 30 million average, just 30 million people in the United States, 30 million people. Think about the numbers here. I'm talking about a force to be reckoned with as well here. The betrayal of trust has to rise to the level that it caused at least minimum 10% of the population to not respond. And they had their reasons. That's a population of 30 million. Now we see the attack on the people that did take. That if the numbers are true, just the 10% is 30 million, that if the numbers are true, half the population knew better than to believe the government, didn't trust the government to take that job. 150 million people would be available to do what? Well, ultra-abolish the maladministration. To create an open and lawful resistance. We hear the words, people are talking about be the resistance. But I'm wanting to know, with these numbers, where are you all? Where are you all? Some of us are out here, but where is everybody in this betrayal of justice? It reaches an author, Jeffrey Tucker, to be able to delineate exactly how vast that distrust has become. Of all the subject matters. Like he said, that list can go really, literally endless. So it's not about being able to identify how many things are wrong. It's that now that you've seen the list in your mind, what's sufficient to be enough is enough. That I would ask, of 150 million people that didn't, that knew better than to trust. And so all these stories and reports of harm are coming out are just irrelevant, first of all, and then water under the bridge. To begin with, why are people silent against that oppression and harm to their fellow man, so to speak? Why are people silent against the continuing encroachment, which is, I have another couple links when we get there, that it's not going away. On this link, just the title of the link and looking at a doctor, another doctor, his name I think is Dr. Mitch, he calls himself. Admitting that he's seeing what he's seeing in actual experience. When do 150 million people that would claim to be free people in the freest land celebrate their independence? And I say that advisedly, independence, meaning you're not independent, although you have mutual aid. But when will they declare their actual independence? As I think, well, we're getting close to that day again. When are the people going to be non-dependent on the untrustworthy? When are they going to celebrate their actual independence? Like, you know, with a slice of mom's apple pie and stand up and defend themselves from the unquestionable tyranny and oppression that we suffer. When? We've been talking about this for a long time. Here it all is. Here's all the things we can start. We can continue to complain about, or we can stop complaining and do it. When does that happen? When are we going to do something? But it's not a desperation. We're going to go through whatever we've allowed. But the thing that's seemingly rolling down is I've been looking for every way to say it ain't going to happen. And I can't find the evidence that what has been planned is not fulfilling itself in some very difficult times. And the way it's being set up is that we will dirt and the nature of us seems to be, we're going to be fighting amongst ourselves and let these people that caused it get off scot-free. Who is Scott, anyway? Anyway, so when are we going to get this rolling? When are people going to roll up their sleeves and act upon this massive betrayal? I don't know how anybody can't see that. The spaghetti western false front that I've been talking about has not been really more completely exposed. And then I took a gander at the video at the link. Remember, that's all my thoughts in an instant, if you will. It took longer to explain it. Just seeing the title of the email from the email. And thank you for that. And so we looked at the video. Dr. Mitch here. He was really informative on what his experience were, and it just confirms the harms that have been known since the trials, or so-called trials. The thing that we now see the FDA advancing quickly now, that they cause heart problems. And that's not the only thing. That's the other fraud, the latent fraud there. They only look to find it would do heart problems. What about the rest? Guess I have to interject some thought just occurred to me. Most people think, well, they aren't doing safety tests. It's only for efficacy, right? I think that's the thing that occurred to my mind. Well, if you understand that all they're doing, they know that they're dealing with a chemical weapon. They know they're dealing with a chemical weapon. We've seen the evidence and heard the testimony, but as I pointed out, Rand Paul, good cop, bad cop with fall prey to Fauci. Rand Paul giving Fauci the out by allowing Fauci to make a congressional record of the beneficial use of the chemical weapon to qualify its exception under Title 50 and the crimes that you'll find under, I think it's Title 18, 175 and maybe 2332, those sections. Qualifying and giving exception to a chemical weapon is the reason why you're not seeing the actual safety. They don't need to show them to be safe. All they have to be is showing the benefit. And they just made that a claim. And they made a claim that was never challenged. So to me, I don't know what the question is on a lot of that. Once you heard that they needed just to produce that it was dual use, it was of a beneficial use, they don't have to prove safety. They just had to prove a benefit. And that's why you watch the definitions change. So I guess that's a little side slip here. As I looked at my mind, hear what I'm talking about. The harms since the trials. The trials weren't for safety. The trials were to find some sort of benefit to qualify what is known. They know that it's a bioweapon, a drug, a chemical weapon. That needed an exception, and they got it. They got the record at this point. It's fraudulent, but see, the world works on fraud now, so it doesn't really matter. And I don't necessarily agree with Dr. Mitch when you listen. He does do a qualification a little later on when you get the link. Now, he says that he used a test as a doctor, and the test was a PCR test. He admits it's garbage, but he used it nonetheless. But we know there is no test. He didn't qualify that part. And I want us to make sure that we qualify that part. It's not that it doesn't make Dr. Mitch wrong. He relied on a test that he found was garbage, but that he turned to the deeds of the HARMA, the jab, and what it was causing in people all of a sudden. So despite all this confirmation of irreparable harm, it doesn't matter. The info is no longer important, is it? It's all irrelevant. See, it wasn't even relevant to begin with. You could see it was going to cause harm. And despite these harms, and despite the fellow man going down by them, and despite all that we have seen, and even for this 2 years, it's going to go on. Now, behind the woodshed, I hear crickets. 150 million crickets worth. And don't be surprised when the crickets become the sustainable food feeding the neo-normal. I'm pausing here. I want people to understand the connections that are going on and how they're slowly bringing people's societies and drowning them and killing them off. As we move on and find there's an unexpected 40% increase in all causes of death in 2021, anticipating the condition that's beyond the heart risks. get a video. I'm not going to play it. I got to get my audios messed up here. I've got to do such a great gain to undo it. I'm afraid that if to undo it, I may not get all my gain back to do the broadcast. And so it's not worth touching at this point. But you can watch, get the link, watch the video. It's across the board now. They say unexpected. No, it's totally expected. Behind the Woodshed, it's totally expected. Let's say that for you. Behind, not just listening to me, but when you get into a action mode, you can go back at the knowledge of what was going on and say it's totally expected, despite the denial of those that are promoting and brokering Harma. Under the collar of an expert, under the collar of an authority. More unreliability comes out, more proof of it. Sudden deaths of young people proving a mystery for doctors. A mystery, folks? It was predictable. The doctors are uninformed. They can't be even experts. They can't even be reliable. There's no trust in the system. Just what Jeffrey Tucker's talking about. Just what I've been talking about for over a decade. People aged under 40 are being urged to have their hearts checked because they may potentially be at risk for sudden adult death syndrome. The syndrome known as SADS has been fatal for all kinds of people, regardless of whether they maintain a fit and healthy lifestyle. SADS is an umbrella term to describe unexpected deaths in young people, said the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, most commonly occurring in people under 40 years of age. Is this normal? It's certainly the new normal. Is that something you want to have continue? Is it really unexpected? Well, they don't want to cast aspersions on the jab they've been giving, the chemical weapon they've been given license to. By how? The exception that the jab has some benefit. It doesn't matter that people are dying. All it has to show is some benefit. And so, we have sudden deaths of young people. All of a sudden. Certainly can't be the jab. There's no evidence for it. Best science will not prove that out, folks. You heretic. You misinformer. And yet, there's 150 million crickets at this point that could throw this all on its head and stop it. And we're not. Hence the crickets. The future food for the sustainable neo-normal, you insects. That wasn't an insult. That's not a judgment. That's a condition of a fact that you're going to be turned into. The crickets become food that fed that which made insects palatable. Sudden deaths of young people, proving a mystery for doctors. Didn't we also hear this in the insurance CEO or somebody making that report that said that this is going to come out of our budgets here real quick? And then he got fired. Can you, as I said, if you think this is going to end, a tab came up again and to continue to remind us, notwithstanding all these harms, notwithstanding the distrust, notwithstanding the unreliability, notwithstanding the reliability of the fraud, after the summer, Europe launches a new campaign for the unvaccinated. Anyone who imagines that the suspension of COVID-related measures in much of Europe means that those measures and therefore the COVID-19 vaccine campaign is it a thing of the past, should look at the recent European Commission announcement, beginning with a statement by the Commission President Ursula von der Leyen on April 27th on the next phase of the pandemic. Although he admits that the emergency in quotes phase of the pandemic is over, but obviously the pandemic is not over, von der Leyen warns that, quote, we must remain vigilant, close quote. The number of infected is still high, in the EU, and many people are still dying from COVID-19 worldwide. Moreover, new variants may emerge and spread widely. The same fraud. There's no test, so they don't know. And as I told you, and I predicted, that they once the people got the jab, it would cause the deaths. And now they blame it on COVID-19, the disease, the flu-like symptoms, still don't have a cause, and they won't ever have a cause, because it's the chemical weapon. They're not going to admit. Remember, a lawyer, a bar member, will always advise, deny, deny, deny. Even after you're convicted, deny it. It's not over. It's not going to be over. It's as predicted. It's as planned, folks. Fraud and untrust, unreliability is now wrapped itself around the world. Governments are shown to be the spaghetti western false fronts that I've been suggesting that they were. All the instrumentalities seem to just evaporate before our eyes. And yet, we, in this betrayal, against all black and white, against all, if you will, lawful exercise, we tolerate and continue to allow people to do these oppressors to do this against us, and they're not bashful to go after our little ones, as we find out this thing going on in Europe, even though there's been Brexit, supposedly, UK considers vaccine passports for five-year-olds. Even being an island wasn't separate enough for this thing, apparently. The UK government is considering a digital vaccine passport for kids between, little goats, between the ages of 5 and 11. The age group began receiving vaccines on April 4th. They are only given Pfizer's two-dose vaccine, they say here. But again, it's not a vaccine. Only by the broker changing the definition to not include prevention can this be considered possibly under the term vaccine. It's under color of the authority of a vaccine. But as I've told you, it doesn't end there. Despite that definition change, if you go to your local communicable disease law and you identify the steps that are to be taken after the medical report, and then what is to be happened after determination by the health authority once the report is given, and once they identify you being the infectious principal, then they can only, and are authorized only, and only have jurisdiction and authority to administer remedies to prevent what's going on. So we still have an answer, and it's in stark contrast to how the federal side and the international side deal with it, which all still becomes important. Why this thing, your defenses don't end. Where there's a legislature said that the authority for the public health official is to prevent, and the vaccine definition has changed the definition to remove its that proof, then they can't, there's no, the vaccine is not within the local health administrator's toolbox to insist upon. I'm saying another thing I've been talking to you about, because if this thing is not ending, we have to be, again, fluid enough to be able to keep moving as the oppressor continues to tighten up its the holes in its story and the holes in its authority. And remember, I've explained, at least I found in the rules of Tennessee, a rule promulgated after the fact. That's how you promulgate the rules, to implement this legislative code, which was contrary to the legislative mandate, to allow these foreigners to have a say and to suggest, not even find or determine an infectious agent, just to suggest there's ones there. That sits in the rules, which is a violation to the law and due process. These people are willing to come after your little ones. There has been a history of, I guess, people in the know about little ones and what they might do for the elders. And this story seemed to pop up, and I'm wondering whether or not this is going to affect this business, I understand, it goes on, which I don't really cover at all, but hear about. they're injecting little ones and requiring digital passports to track and trace them from 5 to 11 now in the UK and affecting their blood. Is it going to affect the youth blood harvesting industry? Another conspiracy theory vindicated as fact. In this article, youth blood harvesting, another conspiracy theory, vindicated as fact. Heavens to Betsy, writes Ben Barty, the far right, so quote, conspiracy theorist prophets are vindicated again. No longer conspiracy theory. Youth blood sucking is official fact because the gatekeeping corporate media now acknowledges it. From a link to the Telegraph, as macabre as it sounds, the science is beginning to discover that youth transplants really can slow down the aging process. The fountain of youth, it seems, is youth itself. The author, Ben, goes on to say, youth transplants is a euphemism for sucking out the vital fluids of baby children donors and injecting them into aging recipients. They use cerebral spinal fluid, and it came from a study of young mice injecting their cerebral spinal fluid into old mice, which improved brain function. A breakthrough, folks. I wonder how many more no youth spinal fluid they're going to be getting out when they find out that these jabs or chemical weapons are proprietarily affecting their genetics and what their body does in response. Maybe something somebody wants to track from here on out. But yes, we do have a little bit of respite from the fear-mongering. A smallpox vaccine protects against the monkeypox, the moneypox, as they're now pushing it, but it comes with its own set of risks. No kidding. All vaccines do, but they start from a dubious beginning. You can read back way back in the 1850s out of the UK again. If you didn't understand the hub of corruption about these things. But yeah, your smallpox vaccine, if you had one, and the problem is a lot of people after a certain year, I can't remember now what that year is, the 90s, no longer get that. And so that's supposedly brought this on, although it only seemed to be brought on where they were doing vaccinations for it in other places. Because as I've been studying, it appears that the human population, those animals out there, as they want to put us in that cage, were getting immunities generally to these diseases from the 1900s on in through when Harma was picking up and claiming vaccination was the answer. Our bodies were gaining immunity from these things. Yes, people die. It seems to be nature. Yeah, not my idea of a good plan in the world, a good design in the world, but that's how it works. But the vaccine, the smallpox vaccine works, as you might think. I also find it interesting. They call it human monkeypox, and I just wondered whether or not, and I think Grimner would have maybe have agreed, but that's redundant, human monkeypox. Moving into the trust and the distrust and who we watch and how the world is transforming, we can see, again, focusing in on the nature of a military attack consistently and partnershiping that works with it. And I guess my mind just wants to quickly go to the fact that they don't be evil. This was removed right away from the motto of Google, was the big sign. We called it out. Ex-Google CEO Eric Schmidt's new investment fund deepens his ties to national security interests. Deepens his ties to national security interests. Got to be very careful on this one because they're redefining what a national security interest is. Ex-Google CEO Eric Schmidt is an example of how you can shape public policy without ever running for office. And they do, again, as the ex-Google CEO. Well, they're in, these people, it doesn't, the corporation's irrelevant to the fact that they become policy influencers, and they're well-placed to do so. And they are, if anybody who's getting government funds is going to be one of those influencers and speak to the government's future need. In this case, national security interests is not like they used to be, the national security. It's what someone deems to be the national security. And I can suggest to you, it's no longer production. It's no longer things that you thought were of national security. In fact, it's protection of fraud. Again, we get that right out of 9/11, and then what happened in 2008. But a few months ago, the revelation of Schmidt's deep involvement with the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy raised ethics concerns that some questioned if it was appropriate for a tech billionaire to fund a government office that advises the president on tech policy. Now Schmidt, who has long been a go-to liaison between the tech industry and the military, is expanding his influence over United States national security by helping fund a new investment fund called America's Frontier Fund, according to the report by the Tech Transparency Project, the research arm of the nonprofit ethics watchdog Campaign for Accountability. America's Frontier Fund isn't your ordinary venture capital fund. In a leaked announcement draft obtained by TTF and AFF, described itself as a first public-private deep tech fund in the United States, meaning it would receive government funding alongside of private money. After Recode followed up, the fund said that the draft, quote, was not approved and was never meant to be released. We do not describe ourselves that way. We only describe ourselves as a nonprofit deep tech fund. AFF said that to date it has not yet received money from the government, but that it has responded to the request for information from the Department of Commerce about the semiconductor fund, which can be an early step in the process of receiving funding from the government. Again, heads up, I'll just let you read the other part of the article, that these influencers, these money people, these philanthropists, they understand how to go get the taxpayers' money. This is all leveraged funding to the public-private condition that is destroying the United States of America. It destroys everywhere, that this touches. It's the model and the preferred action by the green religion. Again, it's what we sued in 2013. It's actually what caused the suit, the money attaching to the Treasury to do these things is what caused our ability to do the suit. And again, this is an ongoing thing that the trust that these people tried to garner, their benefit, if you listened last week, this is the same groupings of people that wanted to provide the benefit to bring you up because you are your reality privilege deprived, is the theme of continuing why this is going to continue until we all wrap our head around what's going on to stop it. And part of this computer, this is semiconductor right here. They call it a semiconductor fund. Again, the digital landscape that they're building, this alternative reality that they think that they're building. It seems to me the answer to it is if you just unplug everything, does it still exist? It's good enough for us to say, wait a minute, if there's a betrayal there, maybe we shouldn't buy into so much of that at all and keep our distance and make sure we have a distance. Make sure, more importantly, we don't actually engage it and make sure that it cannot embrace us. As I said, it would do with the Bitcoin. People wouldn't believe me when I said that they would do something. They'd either embrace it with regulation or outlaw. We now move in. And so what the government of the United States did immediately was to move to embrace it as a security. And I said, the industry better step up. The industry that exists, as fledgling as it is, better understand what's going on. And they better make a different characterization of what they do so that they aren't brought into regulation authority and controlled that way, opposed to what we find China just did here after a while earlier, which is to ban cryptocurrency completely. And the response by the industry was pretty hypocritical, to say, oh, we can go anywhere, we're decentralized, and then they have to move. They were banned in China. They weren't able to move, actually, in China. And so be very careful to watch the truth behind all the promotion, behind what digital currencies are about, as we also watch the Fed coin going global, if you will, and how that's going to work and why, that the securities that the Securities Administration picked Bitcoin up around was challenged in a different way. And I may give you a glimpse, and I said, I'm not totally against Bitcoin as a medium of exchange, an interwebs medium of exchange. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, they're just now coming to the terms. Maybe we should never do a public posting. Maybe it needs to be a private posting always. What you think, folks? It should have always been a private posting if it was going to be anything. No, they wanted to make money. See, they always wants to make a profit. It's a commercial nation, don't you know? But the court, someone challenged the SEC, not on Bitcoin, but on the authority of the administrative law judges there. And I talked about this last week, and I didn't want to include it until I had a little more time just to kind of read quickly through here. But based in this digital unreliability, based in this Google, ex-Google officials tying themselves in public-private partnership, as I said, they will have to do, leveraging governmental funding, which is now fraud. That's another thing. Clearly is it fraud. Your taxes have never really paid for it. Maybe one time they did, but it never has been. And the fraud explained that. When you can monetize fraud as GDP, then you know, and you base your finances on that, and then the full faith and credit, you know you're dealing in fraud. We always have been. But this court case came through the very agency who determined that CryptoCoin placed it in as a security, was found that their SEC internal judges are unconstitutional. And I have that link you can read. It took a little bit to read through. If you read the decision, you find out most of this stuff really has become a little bit convoluted on their reasoning and rationale. So you got to read essentially the conclusion. And you read a bit about the dissent too, because there might be a setup for a change if it's appealed. But the Securities Exchange Commission that's ruling that CryptoCoin is a security, the judges of that administrative body have been ruled to be unconstitutional, seem to me to be, if the industry of Bitcoin is getting its head wrapped around this and finally figuring out it isn't so hard to ban them, and you only will be able to go where you're not banned, meaning that you're bannable and you're not decentralized, and you have a bunch of other problems like energy consumption, nonsensical stuff here, but you are going to have to engage this and redefine yourself as other than a security. This decision may allow that industry to do so. If there's going to be any hope at all that people can use private electronic exchange cheaply, should be free actually, to circumvent the entirety of the electronic system that goes on, even though I'm not saying that you abandon cash, which requires a hand-to-hand exchange. You have to be in a literal arm's length transaction, which is your right to contract. And that needs to be preserved. But for, convenience, it makes sense that we should have an ability to do exchange value, right? We don't have to, again, we just have to allow it. And yet the government knows what the power of that is, and so they've turned it into, the United States government has turned it into something that they want to regulate. In some regard, those regulations are caused because the industry itself is not, again, reliable, not trustworthy, full of scams. And I can tell you, I don't have any, my mind just cannot wrap around trusting an electron. Literally, and then in the hands, not just the hardware that it requires to maintain that electron, but then those you're supposed to have to deal with. It's supposed to be a trustless system, but I have to trust somebody in order to exchange. No, there has to be a complete rework. And in the meantime, the governments are coming out and figuring out how to take that industry and control it, and they will, if in some way, regardless of the opinion of the people in digital world, of not being able to be trackable, traceable, being decentralized, they are absolutely going to be put in that cage. The digital cage will be created. And so we have an interesting ruling here you may want to look at. The court rules the SEC internal judges are unconstitutional. They go through their reasoning, their rationale. I don't know if I agree with it all, but that's what they go through. We say, in sum, we agree with the petitioners that the SEC proceedings below were unconstitutional. The SEC's judgment should be vacated for at least two reasons. Listen to the hesitation to end this, and then find out how they work this out. They make the decision, they send it back to the SEC to conform its actions with this decision. The SEC's judgment should be vacated for at least two reasons. At least, not a very complete decision. And so this is the hesitation I keep saying. Read into these things a future that's unreliable. And again, give us impetus to start maintaining a much more substantial and tangible way forward. And I say that needs to be stepped back a bit. The very thing that the Transformers don't want you to do, yeah, those caricatures, cartoons, Transformer things, yeah, those machines that are can do things. No, we want to transform us into a new political regime. We need to go back to our basics that we understood did work, start there and embrace that, counter to what they're wanting. Here we go back to this decision that that should be vacated, the unreliability of this decision that they say, number one, one of the two reasons, one, petitioners were deprived of the Seventh Amendment right of a civil jury trial. Number two, the Congress unconstitutionally delegated legislative power to the SEC by failing to give the SEC an intelligible principle by which to exercise the delegated power. We also hold that the statutory removal restrictions for SEC ALJs are unconstitutional, though we do not address whether vacating would be appropriate based on that defect alone. We grant the petition for review, vacate the decision of the SEC, and remand for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. So fine and great and unconstitutional, and don't miss the point about the second one and the delegated legislative power, and that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said there has to be an intelligible principle by which to exercise the delegated power, is exactly what I'm talking about. Failed in every jurisdiction regarding COVID to find the infectious principle, that the legislature stated and gave the intelligible principle by which to exercise that delegated power. Failed in every jurisdiction around the world. So the standard I apply here to this is that they apply, as I have been applying, that the SEC's judges have been wrong, that if Bitcoin's going to be anything private, it better jump back in and validate all their orders, and they better reconstruct. Now that I understand they actually have a so-called think tank maybe working on this, well, I don't know, but they need to really rethink quick how this all works, not as a way to mine Bitcoin, but to make a coin an intelligible medium of exchange in the electron world for people that is private. But moving on here, completely not trustable. Your securities exchange is unreliable, unconstitutional, not trustable, and yet it's been making decisions for all this time. Is the government of the United States of America? And that they'll tell you that's the Bar Association will contend that's the best they can do. And I don't know if that's ever been put up for a vote either. As we again find unreliability wherever we look, however we find it. And I hope that's not some of you looking behind the woodshed and finding and don't talk to me. If you find I'm unreliable, let me know. That's one thing you know that's been out there on the first. It leads where I go. If you find me unreliable, let me know. If I'm wrong, let me know. So far, we're doing pretty good. But who is forced into humiliating back down? Interesting story. I'm having to read from a surrogate website because the link that I had, and you'll find the link in this article to go to the original, was no longer available, would not allow me in because someone states that that website's now unsafe. Well, I got the original article from there, and it wasn't unsafe when I got it. But here we have, how is this the case that the WHO, the World Health Organization, was forced into humiliating back down? It wasn't the beacon of freedom of the United States or Britain with all of its rights, or Canada with all your rights. None of you. It wasn't any of you. No, it was a bunch of African nations stepping up and saying, whoa, hold it. Whoa, mule. One nation was what the reporting instance is here. It says, brilliant news out of Geneva. As most of you know, the World Health Assembly has spent the past 7 days considering Biden's 13 controversial amendments to the international health regulations. Biden's controversial amendments. He had no right to touch this, where the reservation in the IHA, International Health Regulation 2005 version, reserved that right to the states. Remember? But anyway, Biden comes forward. 13 controversial amendments. Official delegates from the wealthy developed nations like Australia and UK and the US spoke in strong support. Do you get it, folks? They spoke in strong support of the amendments and urged that other states to join them in signing away their country's sovereignty. The first sign, however, that things might not be going the globalist way came on Wednesday, the 25th of May, which just happened to also be Africa Day. Botswana read a statement on behalf of 47 Afro members, AFRO members, saying that they would be collectively withholding their support for the reforms which many African members were very concerned about. Multiple other countries also said that they had reservations over the changes that would not be supporting them either. These included Brazil. Listen carefully, folks. Listen carefully in the context of the economic, fiscal, and monetary transformation, the real one going on, not the one they want us to do. Not the one for us, the one for the world. These include Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. I highlight those for the next article. And it goes on to say Iran and Malaysia. Brazil in particular said it would exit the WHO altogether rather than allow its population to be made subject to the new amendments. If it's not good enough for them, how is it good enough for you in the United States of America, what Biden's doing? In the end, the WHO and its wealthy nation supporters were forced to back down. I just kind of get all giggly inside over this. No consent here. Don't allow the reform. They call them reforms in quotes in the article. You read it. These are the transformations that are being done. Now let me move over to what I got about the Brazil, Russia, India. I hope you picked up on it. Because this is the BRICS nations. The financial part of this, those nations are stepping up to say, we're not going to continue. More proof of that the world has shifted in the fiscal and monetary position, notwithstanding the threat of the existing IMF condition. BRICS, in this other article, BRICS forced WHO in back down. Now, other article identified that this was the BRICS nations, including some others. And so I add this to highlight this economic shift in the world. And that what you need to do, again, sovereign nations saying, we're not partial to these reforms. No, we're going to withhold our consent. We're going to withhold our consent so much that we're going to eliminate our connection to who. We're going to no longer engage with the who. It's gone. We're not giving it any more support. As a sovereign American, no, hold back your laughter. As a sovereign American, why are you not withholding your consent to these transforms that are going on? That I've explained to you are going on behind the woodshed for years. That if you are going to say you or have an idea you're a sovereign, you have free, you can be free in a nation that promised to protect that, of officials that promised to undertake to do those things, and you stop seeing that, when are you going to withhold your integration with that? Withhold your support. Withhold your actions by counteracting against. When? Maybe that's the title of the broadcast. When? When's this going to happen? See, I see in saying that, it's an optimistic view. Maybe ill-invested. It's an optimistic view that we can and we still can. And we will. But when? Now, I don't want to take a long time to answer that as I think about what people do with questions. You make questions to delay. And so, regardless of, it's not also that I'm supporting all those nations, but that neither here nor there. Look at how even just a few people, supposedly leaders of those places and those nations, are making their decisions. Look at who is reliable. Look who is trustworthy. Look at the threat that they're no longer going to support against them. Where is that resistance in the people that declare themselves to be free or believed again that we were free? Now see, the betrayal of trust is the betrayal of those that undertook, not ourselves. So don't, even looking at Jeffrey Tucker's title, The Betrayal of Trust, requires that we were to stand up and stand against it and not take it anymore. Just find for us how to stop that. And in mass, I think, again, the mass betrayal, the mass response is going to be a part of the answer. But without just a few people, it certainly cannot. But here we have the economic shift in the world resisting what was almost irresistible just a few years ago. This is really a facet. Look at the history that's going on here as we near the end of it as well. Consider this. So the economic shift is going on. We see Russia's now involved, even though it's vilified, inside this other economic world, this other thing that's been working for quickly in the last decade, to readjust this potential that they set up for themselves, which is notice to us of what may have to happen. We may have to re-engage what's going on to reassess how we position ourselves. Well, I keep saying, start finding independent alternatives, working mutually. Do it fast. Don't hang around. Don't just think about it. It's moving too fast for us to think about, in a way. We know this stuff inherently in us, how to resolve it. I wish we would just would. By falling for the deception, by even falsely calling something reliable that really isn't, we see the ram of the consequence again. European natural gas prices soared by almost 40% after fire at a key U.S. export terminal. From Cryptogon.com, the comment is pretty interesting timing. Yeah, you'd think? Natural gas prices surged across Europe on Thursday after fire broke out on a key U.S. export hub, putting further pressure on already tight global supply. Well, okay, but that was all planned in a way, isn't it? Because there's really not much that the United States has done but to curtail all of its production, even to cut its nose to spite its face, to hurt you, the American people. So we see, like the food, now the arson becomes important. Remember, I told you along the I-5 corridor in Oregon, we had those arsons that were found to be this liberal, bent, green religion type ideal people that started setting fires along the I-5 corridor to burn the Western Oregon, as I predicted would happen after we stopped. And I don't know if you appreciate what can happen. We stopped the fires from happening in the summer because we identified what the scam was. We stopped trusting the government and started to impose what was supposed to happen in the black and white. And it took a while to get some people convinced. And finally they were convinced. And all of a sudden the fire stopped. And I predicted, well, they want this place to burn, so it's going to be a matter of a couple of years before the arsonists come out. And they did. And it's funny, this is the tool of choice, apparently, across the nation, if not the world. Now, all of a sudden, you think that they would be super careful about fire around natural gas? And then upon what and when? And we can just keep tracking on all these little points of destruction. We see the prices soaring. Is it because of Russia? Well, it looks like the BRICS nations and more decided they weren't going to put up with Biden's suggestions. So I think we're starting to see the focus of the hub of the destruction. If we want to just take a little gander at that and ponder that a bit, right, Vince? Gas prices so high now, let's go back from you. I think it's over there. No, gas prices so high over here in the United States of America, the police are told to respond to 9/11 calls by phone. Currently, gas prices throughout the country are reaching record highs. For months, the establishment left has been blaming soaring prices on the greedy capitalism, and for months, their constituencies has been lapping it up. In reality, gas prices are high because of the federal government intervention in the market. Sanction will have skewed competition and runaway inflation thanks to a responsible monetary policy by the Fed, which has printed trillions of over the last 2 years. I'm going to stop right there. You can read it. The budgets of the local police are such that they no longer, they're reached two-thirds of the year and they've run out of money for fuel, which I thought was a very hilarious consequence of the policies coming out of Washington. That I'm always looking for a way to not have the cops run around, and I don't know why. Do you? Maybe there's a story to be had here in the future relative to maybe that's one of the answers that they're talking about. The cops just shouldn't be going around so much. This might be a godsend, a blessing in disguise. Your 9/11 response will be by phone, folks. If you didn't understand how stupid this starts to get over what the cops really, the power the cops do and don't have, what they're around, what their purpose is. It's really in us to do all this anyway. So they claim that having cops here and not being able to run around because there's no fuel and all this harm and thing that they have is going to be worth it. All these supposed elites, these policies Biden's putting out, and Biden's not doing the policies. It's these adherents underneath the destroyers of the United States of America working inside the system, the cancer that sits there to continue to work. As our overlords say, inflation and energy shortages are worth it, in quotes. All this is worth it, folks, from these folks that are running. We see figure faces out of Davos and Bilderbergs and all that. These policymakers, these public-private partnershipping, leverage funding, taxpayer parasites. We have a discussion here. We can just read again. I read the titles. Maybe good enough. I mean, if you understand what's going on, but the point is, it's not good enough to get us to act, and that's the only thing I get to talk about. Here's another point. Here's how you can look at it. Here's what's going on. Here's what it didn't do. Here's what you can do. Here's how you can adjust it. Here's what you can use within what they did and show the weakness. Here's how what they've done isn't so reliable, and we can use that to help steady things up for ourselves. When are we going to go ahead and do that? I'm not sure when that'll be. I'm hoping soon. Because what's on the plan here? What's coming on the plan? I can't even tell you how bad it could be getting. And again, I don't know what to say. My mind just starts to shut down. On one hand, I can see we can fix all this. On the other hand, I'm not seeing anybody respond. And I'm just, all these videos I'm seeing about people that are being put out of their houses, their families are sick now. They're just not functional in a way that a public of people's needs to be to protect themselves from this type of attack. The story on this point here goes on to show these people that are in the World Economic Forum here. When you read the list of what's available at the link, you see all the different ways that we're being attacked, all the different things that are going on that are going through this Sovereign Man website, just what kind of got me just watching it. That the bank CEO of inflation and energy shortages wants to tell you that it's worth it, these harms. We've been told this over and over, but this is coming out of the Davos World Economic Forum's meetings, which I think have ended right now, by speaking about how the global transition to clean energy would affect small and medium businesses. Brathen said, there will be some pain in the process. The pace that we need is open for missteps. It will open up for the shortages of energy. It will create inflationary pressures. And maybe we need to start talking about that. That pain is actually worth it. Now, I don't know about you and who these people are, but I don't know where they got the jurisdiction, let alone the authority, to decide that they can put missteps and pain, inflation, and cost on your lives. And yet, your governments, globally, are allowing it. But even if I look at this in an administrative capacity, which shows you it's not even inside your system, it's already a cancer affecting it without due process, that an administrative process would allow us, even in their Hegelian dialectic processes, to gain your support and buy-in. Even those situations allow for public comment and the dealing, the meaningful dealing with whether or not those alternatives would be adequate, sufficient, or needed at all. Now, when I'm talking about you have no due process, that your leader, your government, your establishment has failed already, that there's enough maladministration already that we ought to have acted. When you read just that paragraph to understand what I'm talking about within a context of actual due process, rule of law, even in an administrative context that you've all been denied, and I hear crickets, that you didn't get a say, we're in for a long, cold, dark winter, just as they're telling and planning. And I'm saying that not to get you to buy into that. I'm saying let's respond. Every one of those points they put out, if you look around and see what's going on, then you find the agency that was is supposed to be making the policy considerations that would allow for an administrative hearing and you didn't get it, you can shut the whole thing down. Because you have the right to have them present why what their alternatives are better than any others. And you have the right to assert alternatives that you can show are better. And so we don't have this immediacy that's gone on even so. We have an ability to buffer some of this, even if we didn't know what else to do. And we don't, I think in large part we don't even know to do this, which is why I'm just talking about it here. But I read these articles and say, well, they're telling us that they're coming in as a cancer. They're coming as, there's no due process, there's no organic government here at all. You have a bunch of officials that are just accepting a bunch of this stuff without authority to do so. And no one challenges the fact that they don't have jurisdiction to have an opinion. And it's causing pain, and someone else has decided it's worth it for you. And I can't even touch all the subject matter areas that we could touch in discussing how this thing is going down and how internally these people that think that they have a say, these global leaders, are infiltrating your system. The supposed advocates of the system, adherents to it, are disrupting even the organic establishment to cause more chaos. As when people are watching this destruction come down, the inflation that's worth it is now, we're seeing the effect already, that inflation will price many Americans out of of housing and into homelessness. And the pictures on these topics I've seen is horrendous. Again, kind of cloistered. I didn't realize it. The RVs parked down roads, just miles and miles, tent cities everywhere. It's not even like I haven't even talked about it. I told you about this when I talked about the Modernization Act in 2010 or so. I said, you're going to see homelessness everywhere. You're going to watch, and then the fraud on top, we were after the fraud. I said, they're transferring housing over into private corporations, investment systems. They're going to take it all out of the market. They put people into severe needs at high prices. Then apartments came up. Not even those are going to be affordable. Inflation will price many Americans out of housing and into homelessness. That's worth it, folks. These people think that's worth it. Is it? Did you get a say? Are you content because you still have a roof over your head? What will it take? One of the most detrimental aspects of inflationary and stagflationary, and someone else will say dragflation, you have all these terms, I don't care what you call it, it's a crisis in that in most cases, housing costs tend to rise while home sales fall. Well, there's a whole other dynamic about corporate, public-private partnershiping investment systems. Big, big, giant, fraudulent money coming in to buy up your life, your land, your freedom. Remember, unlimited debt allows you to buy back everybody's freedom. They're actually putting in this common stuff in property, and the courts are going with it like they're, we know that they will promote it. We're in some serious trouble here, folks. Article goes on to say, maybe seem counterintuitive. One may assume that as the sales fall, so should prices, but this is an upside-down world of inflation. Certain commodities and products, usually necessities, always a skyrocket in price, ultimately driving most Americans out of the market completely. It won't be just housing, though, right? It's in every aspect of your life. So is it worth it, folks? Is being homeless in the prosperous country, the United States of America, worth it, folks? Someone has decided it is. And where's the limit? Where's the bottom and the top of this? Well, another article. Francis, a pope of the poor, a pope for the environment, or a pope of the global elite? Astute question, although I don't know that it's a question. The controllers of the world, the controllers of the minds of people of the world, are the ones that are running the show, extra jurisdictional to where you live and your way of life and your law, actual laws. And then they got the cancer and infiltrators that are kind of gaslighting you, it seems. That word keeps coming back in my mind. I don't really like it, but it just seems to be so fitting. They expect that an authority is true. You trust the authority. Authority says you don't get, that's good enough. You have a person of faith, you believe in the Pope, the Catholicism, notwithstanding the proofs contrary to that. He steps up. I've been dogging him for years, being a supporter of the sustainable crowd, which is what we can put in a quote, the global elite. But it's all for the unity underneath the green religion, which is going to be the unity of all religions, and the Pope, the office, sits at the pinnacle, eventually. Pope Francis, a pope of rupture, a pope of ecology, inimical to the capitalism, but compassionate to the poor and the migrant, the gay-friendly pope, lenient with dioceses, but hostile to traditionalists and conservatives, the reformer of the corrupt Roman Curia, the enemy of sexual abuse perpetrated by clerics, and rather than a pope of paradoxes, it is with Bayer, Monsanto, and BP that Francis hopes to save the planet with Bank of America as well as the big Harma's own Merck and Johnson & Johnson that he fancies conjuring up an ethical capitalism. Would he be then more like the Pope of the new marketing logic? As it happens, it is precisely the name of defending the environment, inclusivity, equity of social justice that the corporate stakeholders of the global governance are trying to enforce their agenda, which is nothing less than the converting of the whole planet and every human dwelling on its surface into assets, tradable on the stock market if you didn't know what your digital ID is going to be about. This story goes on and on. They're very interesting. The first paragraph just kind of encapsulated everything I've ever kind of mentioned. Not everything, but a lot of what I mentioned, how it all pulls together, the words like stakeholder, what that really means, the standards that they're going on, that foreigners are doing it, that there's corporations moving in to do so in league with governments who are going to throw you under the bus. And in the United States of America, at least, we have the authority to alter and abolish mail administration, and we're not. We have these people that will look at you, big smiles or whatever, even ugly faces. We have these supposed angels that are here to help us, bring benefits, save our souls. And they've all become, hopefully, to most people, untrustworthy, those that are. This guy, I've been talking about how he is untrustworthy. He's not infallible. He is a promoter for something that he has a jurisdiction. The office, at least this guy too, but the office goes on, supposedly maybe not much past him, we'll see, as the history may be ending as we know it, and we might have signs. But what's the face? This is supposed to be the angelic face of benefits in the world. But we have a recent example and evidence of what the demonic face of the implementation of all this inside the cancer, inside our systems, inside of our jobs, inside of our corporations is. In a very interesting tweet and video, I guess it was on sourced out of TikTok, as I found, Gonzalo Lira. I've talked about him before. He got picked up by the Ukrainian special police and then for a week taken out of the picture and then brought back. And then he's still been tweeting and stuff, but he's, I don't know what else is going on around that. But anyway, it came from his website on Twitter, or his posting on Twitter. He says, we have the power, she says, and all HR departments are in this regard. A video from a woman who is in an HR department. We have the power, she talks in a demonic voice. You'll have to hear this. We have the power, all run by angry women just like me. No one will ever convince me, as Gonzalo Lira states, no one will ever convince me that there aren't demons among us. Where the Pope puts on the face of the non-demonic angelic benefice, we might see the true one here. You really have to hear this. It's someone kind of made the observation, the eyes on this woman make it almost look like this is an AI-generated condition, which would be pretty brilliant execution of the truth. I'm not so sure, though. But you need to hear the mentality, it really is demonic. Presentation of how these people inside corporations think, at least by her perspective. I believe it's out there. I've seen enough examples. It's not just in HR. It's inside as a cancer. It's truly disturbing to watch this. But I also want to give room, because I've seen this face before, that notwithstanding that it could be AI generated, and that's kind of interesting. I think this is real, but the problem isn't just that it's a cultural hatred, cancer inside your system defeating you and willing to defeat you, and will describe and say and tell you the truth that they hate you. This is what, like Biden and all these people, they hate you. And this woman says so. I think the truth is coming out with it. You need to see this demonic presence underneath, I think, the skin of all this. And I say demonic because I cannot see the Pope does this in the angelic way, under the cover of an angel. That she's talking the truth, but I've seen this face before, as scary as it is, truly, truly horrifying. It's in a mentally disturbed people. And I know of a woman, a friend of mine's girlfriend, a long time back. She was really a sweet woman, absolutely genuine, great people. But she was bipolar, manic, depressive. And that is the face I'm seeing here that reminded me of that face when she didn't have her proper medication. Someone said, oh, she needs to have more she needs to get off the medication. No, this is the face of someone that may need more medication. And I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying because what happened to my friend's friend was she had to go into this manic stage because the lithium that she took to helper was as oppressive, but internally oppressive torture, that she had to relieve herself by not taking the medicine and act this out. That I don't want to put much of too light of a turn. I want to tell you, though, she told, for as mean as she could get in her manic stage, she told the truth. She was a truth. She wouldn't tell lies, I guess I should say it that way. It was just no filter about all, which is, in a way, kind of refreshing. Particularly when she wasn't attacked, she couldn't attack you, because that meant that you didn't rub her the wrong way, you never kind of presented anything the wrong way. This is the face, to me, of someone suffering mental illness. And she says there's lots of them in there, which I do believe. I've said this before. That I don't want to make light of this potential mental problem. But it is in the decision making of the global leaders inside. That's how this whole thing struck me. But you want to see the face of the devil and the demons that are working against us 24/7, that hate you, that will tell you they hate you, that go on and on about it, that hold this in themselves to seek out to harm you, is the thing we're talking about that comes out as this angelic being in the Pope. That wants to do benefits, that's when you see who they're dealing with, why their deeds, you find out they're not doing anything trustworthy. They're not doing anything that's infallible. It's all to hurt someone, to gain control for themselves, to put themselves in a position, exalt their opinion over everybody else without any input. Contrary to facts. And on their bare assertions of the fact, as we see a sovereign nation responding in the world, Russia ambassador storms out of UN after being blamed for food crisis. And yes, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but I hope you're holding the tethers of the connection together here. This is Biden's administration using Ukraine to blame Russia for the food crisis in a place that Russia only supplies 10% of what it does to the world. And I want to show you how this, again, the face that's put on by the angels, the white hats coming to save us, when they're demons with the face of this woman, if we actually had the eyes to see. Russian ambassador storms out of UN after being blamed for food crisis. There's a story behind it. You can read it. I'm going to move over to Putin's relentless message stunned the West. When you lift the sanctions, you will get food. That's even partly a lie, because Russia doesn't provide the world with food. It provides a portion of the grains to other nations. But Putin is not dumb. He understands what's going on there. And so he can highlight something. You lift your stupid, self-deprecating, self-harming, self-destroying sanctions, and we'll provide the things that we have to provide. In particular, this is grains coming out of the Black Sea ports. The leaders of Russia, France, and Germany held telephone conversations during which Vladimir Putin, in particular, suggested options for Russia to export Russian and Ukraine grain through the Black Sea ports and thus reduce tensions in the food market. How appropriate was that statement? Just reduce the tensions regarding the food that's being supposedly withheld by Russia. Because it's not going to solve all the bad planning that every other nation has put itself in. Regarding all this. Now, Russia's ambassador walks out when they're blamed for the food shortage by what? The Biden regime putting 13 amendments out to the contrary to what the reservation in the 2005 International Health Amendments that most AFRO nations and the BRICS said, you're not going to take our sovereignty with those 13 amendments. Russia's not going to put up with the nonsense of being blamed for something they have no thing, that all they can do is reduce tensions around food. Why? Because these are self-inflicted wounds for those of you that are walking into this dark winter. As I'm going to give you another link to Ice Age Farmer. He spoke about this, I don't have the date here, a while back. And he says, food supply shutdown, deer, fish, pigs, euthanized, crops not planted. He goes through and shows us how the governments are coming in, as I told you they would, and how he's been talking about it. In fact, some of the information came from him, where the governments are coming in to destroy everything that could be meat food around you. attacking anybody who grows pigs by whatever example they want to do, whether it's advocacy, whether it's nuisances, whether it's pigs fly flu, that you're the guy, these nations are destroying, the United States of America is destroying all sources, wild, domesticated wild, or domesticated food in your country. A year ago, that the ambassador of Russia walks out on the suggestion that Russia is causing the world food famine. This has been a plan. This has been a plan in so many ways. I've been telling everybody. Ice Age Farmer Christian focuses on the food. I try to do the more comprehensive everything. A little bit difficult. But we try to give, again, my thought is we got 150 million crickets. Can we shut the crickets off? Can we turn on the men and women? Can we stand them up? And there, all the conversations I've had, all the subject matters, there'll be 150 million people to pick it all up. Not just focus on the food, which is going to be, it's very important, super important. And the point is they're getting rid of your ability to be able to supply yourself. They're coming to your farms. I told you they would do this. It ends up being, in my mind, a sabotage under color of the law, which is actually a war crime, which I think you're going to have to put up against. These policies are going to have to be put up against what they're doing. And you're going to have to be a lot more knowledgeable about it, that they're requiring this. But part of the way that they're attacking us, the global way they're doing, the public-private partnershiping, the fact that we don't maybe know who the players are starts to come back out a little bit, where we find the document that was sent to me by an emailer, thank you very much, was a FOIA request that explains to us what they're calling a document that's called the Second Pearl Harbor. But what they point out inside is that the John Deere Corporation is working with China and gave the software coding into China to try and, I guess, gain favor with China to do more business in China. And China has the interlock information for all this data that they won't give to the people, the farmers in America, that they fight the farmers in America to be able to do the right to repair to. That's already been public-private partnership with China having a global reach to deal with and adversely affect your farming implements. Now, we saw the evidence of this, and I'm bringing this up as old news, back to show us how that happens. Russia plunders $5 million worth of farm vehicles from Ukraine to find they have been remotely disabled. What if China can do that to all the food in the United States, the food equipment machinery in the United States that John Deere has? What if any other nation can find that? What have we done by putting ourselves into this? Why have we trusted the digital future that's going to transform us into the technocratic utopia? Is all part of this thing. When are we going to say enough's enough and just stop it? Just start to say that's going to stop and this is how we're going to go ahead and do it. We really have to roll our hands up and focus on this problem. The second Pearl Harbor, we knew it, that was a setup, folks, remember. But John Deere is involved with China. China is involved with the world and the new world transformation where everything's going to transfer. How do we know if they know this that our machinery isn't failing left and right, and the cost of the farmer, he doesn't even know it. That John Deere is working hand in glove, and this doesn't say just John Deere. Remember, President Clinton did the same thing with the super secret technology that they handed to the Chinese years and decades ago. France bans English gaming tech jargon in push to preserve language purity. My view on French officials on Monday continued their centuries-long battle to preserve the purity of language, overhauling the rules on using English video game jargon. France was just involved with a meeting with Putin, with Germany. Russia defended the Donbass because those people weren't given the purity of their language by the Ukraine, advocated by another policy set of Biden. Seemed to me to be an interesting hypocrisy of the French officials to continue to support NATO when Russia is only attempting to enforce language purity, that the French are willing to want to change words of gamers, no less. The cultural ministry wants to step up and be involved in the process of doing this. Is a future, again, of type of a censorship, where the history begins to be adjusted and not be the truth. It is certainly not the voice of the people. As we see, if you think it's just in France, no, it's reflected in Connecticut. We'll hire a misinformation expert who will urge social media sites to censor false posts. You see the language and the purity of the language from the people to be controlled. Why? That's why you think maybe they're after Russia, because they can't have an example of a purity of a language. That's how people communicate and how they're going to get their ideas together and how they might actually come together to actually get something done for themselves. As we see, Kanukistan's broadcasting regulator confirms proposed online censorship bill will apply to user-generated content. If you thought the digital world was your place to be, have free speech. And this story I wanted to get to, and I have to quickly here, which I thought was interesting from where, not from where it came from, but that it's being stated now. Silicon Valley corporations are taking control of history. This is a Caitlin Johnstone talking about someone who got Twitter account got banned again, and the consequence of this, and this gentleman being an advocate of the Chinese square problem, and that's being, he's being excised. Well, the problem about that, so taking control of history, there's a thought coming that we're at the end of the time of history. It doesn't mean we're at the end of existence. We're at the end of the time of history. And it occurred to me that when someone puts a false history, then we're no longer in history. We may be at that time. Is this a sign, folks? Is this where we're at? It's going to be very interesting as we move through this on a different and esoteric level. As I want to hit another link here, did the X-Files relevant, did the X-Files predict the future as we see utilizing things like communicable disease as vectors for a planned destruction of your life that they then come and use to control you? Is then also utilizing the technocracy to track us and a condition that happens relative to the censorship, I think, and the changing of history. Google loses defamation case in Australia for failing to take action against a defamatory YouTube channel, which they will probably use to say they need to control more. When in fact, if you read the story, they were actually given an opportunity to, once they got a due process court judgment to require them to remove the information. In other words, there was a defamation suit and the people lost. Google thumbed their nose at the judiciary. And so they lost. But this is going to be used to put more digital controls and censorship on. As I go quickly here, Vodafone plans carrier level uses tracking for targeting ads. There's nothing private in all this. And I'll throw another link in where the China surveillance state, you need to see what this is. And I'm going to be able to get to the statement that I wanted to read, and so quick did the broadcast go. And I apologize for that, but I'll maybe get to it next week because it's interesting. And I hope something I said today gets you invigorated. Let's stop the oppression against us, folks, from whatever sector. And I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.